Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Chicago is Ronnie Feldman. Ronnie is president and founder of Learnings and Entertainment. And today we're going to be talking about a variety of issues, really focusing around encouraging people to speak up. Ronnie, first, thanks for speaking up and talking to us today.
No, it's great to be here on the wonderful world of this podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Now, we all know that there are countless reasons why people won't or don't speak up. What can the ethics and compliance community learn from the world of improv and entertainment, which is your background, that can help address this?
Yeah, well, it seems like that would be a weird connection between two worlds, but there is an actual connection there. I came up through the Chicago improv community. When you're building an ensemble on stage that's going to create comedy on the spot without a script in front of an audience, the way you do that is you create an environment where you have unconditional support amongst the group. This takes time and effort. Like there are a lot of improv skills. There are actually, you know, a lot of people think of improv as comedy, but there's skills that improvisers have. They flex their muscles, if you will, their listening muscles. There's this term called yes and, which is the idea of affirming and building on the ideas of others. We say before every time we go on stage, we say, "I've got your back," and we look each other in the eye, and we fully put ourselves in service of our peers on stage. And by doing that, we feel safe. and that allows us to take risks because we know that no matter what we say, it will be supported fully. Amy Poehler of SNL fame, she's an old Second City alum as well. She used to say it's easier to be brave when you're not alone. So when I was a couple of years back, I was at a conference and I saw Amy Edmondson speak. She had written a book called The Fearless Organization about where she talks about psychological safety. This term has been making the rounds the last couple of years in the ethics compliance community. And a psychological safe environment is an environment where people can share ideas, questions, bring concerns forward, and they're not afraid to do that. And she was proposing that the best organizations, the most innovative organizations, constantly encourage their employees to do that because nobody wants to be the person who brings bad news. Our default level is to like, please our bosses. And so she's saying that you constantly have to remind people over and over and over again, like, I know you're telling me things are great. Tell me what's wrong. So you can see the obvious parallels to speak up culture that people, for a variety of reasons, do not want to speak up. They all think they have integrity. I think this is the number one role for the Ethics Compliance Office is to, regardless of any other thing that you're doing, you should be thinking about how do I create this environment where people feel supported, where they trust ethics compliance, where they trust leadership, and so you can cultivate this environment where people are more likely to speak up to bring problems forward.
It's funny, the second conversation today where the emphasis that the person I was talking to emphasized the idea that you need to not just be a good talker, but the importance of listening and creating an environment where people feel as if they'll be listened to. Now, let's talk more. I'm intrigued by the idea of psychological safety. What are some of the things that organizations can do to foster that?
Ethics and compliance. The words ethics and compliance are often toxic words within an organization. Employees hear those words and they make a face or they cringe. And we all know in our community that the ethics compliance professionals are trying to help employees. They're trying to advise them. They're trying to be coaches, but that's not what within the general masses think of it. So in comedy, we would say you're not playing to a warm room. And we've done this to ourselves by pushing out long, bloated, preachy training, the bad stock photography, the rules-based, we're going to quote them policies. It's long. You can't advance it. And what that signals to employees is that, quite frankly, it signals to them that it's not important, that you don't care enough to make something interesting for them. It actually, they think that what you're doing is pushing liability onto them. So we need to recognize, first of all, that people do not speak up when they are annoyed, apathetic, or afraid. We've all heard the term, people won't go to the office of no. So I think a lot of compliance departments are putting out a lot of quote unquote good training, and they're doing risk assessments and they're doing surveys and all that stuff. But what they're not looking at is their reputation and image and how they're presenting themselves to the organization. They have bad PR. And until we address that fundamental issue, I think we're going to keep having problems. So we can start breaking this down into some tactics. But just to finish the point, the idea is that you have to look at how your policies are written, how your trainings are produced, and how often they're circulated, what your internet page is like, how you talk to people. Strange enough, we actually teach improv skills sometimes to compliance professionals, specifically focusing on being better listeners, having better body language, using different word choice so that you are more positive and helpful in how you present yourself. An umbrella around all of this, and I will always argue, and we can get into this, that being entertaining and positive and interesting and using comedy and music and these other device kinds of entertainment devices will be helpful to you because it helps present you in a more positive light.
So let's build off of that. You know, you mentioned you don't want to have stale, bloated type stuff, I think is what you said, that, you know, instead you want creative that's more entertaining to people in the training. So are there specific creative techniques out there that can help promote a speak up culture that's different from what you typically see?
Yeah, I think so. I think most of the I can't remember whether it was a study that you guys put out, but I read a study in the last 6 months that was talking about how often you do speak up campaigns, and the vast majority were once a year, and some were less than that. what do we know about speak up campaigns? There's either a course, or there's the what's typically the poster campaign, you know, that becomes wallpaper or tent cards or something, and it's usually about integrity, and it's usually tries to be inspirational, and it usually comes off as being ignored or as being a little preachy, because let's remember that everybody thinks that they have integrity, but we're highly influenced by our environment. That's a whole other podcast we can do about like the behavioral science around why people do what they do, but suffice it to say that really good people do bad things, partially because the environment will support it, the culture will support it. And we all know this from a speak up perspective, because we grew up hearing don't tattletale on your sister and, you know, all the other versions of that. So we know that even, you know, that it's hard, there are big consequences to it. So the first thing I would say is, training is not the best way to deal with this, at least at this level, when you're promoting a speak up culture, because it's infrequent and too long. I think it's helpful to think of it like advertising. When you think about advertising, you know, you put commercials that are repeated regularly, and they're everywhere that you are. You know, they show up all the time. Now, if you do that in the traditional way, people will hate you, right? Because you don't want to be wagging the finger and putting a boring preachy training or a boring first of all, the organization won't support it. They won't allow you the airtime to push out messages frequently and to put your speak up message all the time, because there's lots of other things on the agenda and people will get message fatigue. So this is where entertainment comes into play. So if we know we want to influence the environment, and so we know we need to increase the frequency of our messages, and we know that to do that, we have to be interesting, let's use the word interesting, then that's where you have to start thinking about creative ways to have consistency of message, but varying the message so that people don't tune it out. I call the company Learnings and Entertainments, because entertainment, you know, is drama and stories and comedy and music and different mediums like GIFs and memes and podcasts and videos. I think it's important enough that we can't think of creativity as a luxury. I think it's essential because I still think this is the number one issue that we need to tackle as a ethics compliance community, is to create that environment. Because if people know the rules and they've passed the test, it doesn't mean they will do the right thing if they think the culture supports otherwise. I want to just end this little segment here, Adam, by one of my favorite quotes is from John Cleese of Monty Python fame. I'm just going to go on record as guessing that you're a big fan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, so he has this wonderful quote, and he says, the main evolutionary significance of humor is it gets us from the closed mode to the open mode faster than anything else. And to me, that's the essence of what we're trying to do here, is we're using stimulus, interesting stimulus, to get people to pay attention and listen and hopefully remember, and then remember positively so that they are more likely to come to you for help and support.
Well, and quoting John Cleese is fun, obviously, because of the Monty Python part, but he ended up having a very long career producing industrial films for companies. So he certainly understands not just the television audience, but the corporate audience as well. So
yeah.
one of the things, you know, we've talked about is really, or so far what we've really focused on, is the idea that you want to get the entire workforce to feel more comfortable talking, the importance of keeping messages in a good way in front of them. And, you know, having spent 13 years in ad agencies, I know doing something one time once a year is not effective. The more you can be in front of people in intriguing, creative ways, the better. But what about leadership? Are there good creative ways to get leadership to participate so that they'll be prepared to listen up themselves? Because, you know, to your point about culture, you know, all the greatest training in the world, all the communication goes out the window if the word gets around that somebody went to management with an issue and management didn't want to hear it.
So I think there's a couple things that we can do here. One is you need to unpack the mechanics of the speak up process. So one is advertising, so people are aware of it, and you know, you're advertising your help and support, so people are hopefully know that they have someone who's got their back. But they still want to know, like when something goes down, what's going to happen? And so that's what storytelling is really helpful. The most popular thing when I go around to different companies that I work with is they always say when they have some sort of compliance confessionals or, you know, some sort of case study that was from the company, that's always the most well-read or the most interesting thing within companies. So I think the more that you can tell real stories about what bad behavior does and does not look like, and then the mechanics of, like, this is what they did or did not do, and these are the resources that they did or did not use, and then this was the investigation that happened, and these were the results. Those are really effective ways to bring some of these issues to life. I mean, we can use podcasts, you can use written case studies. I'm producing a series right now for a company where we're creating a fake investigative news show, and then having leaders tell personal stories about integrity and how it was challenged. So to sum up this one point, one is to tell real stories about this behavior so that the people can get a sense of what that process does and does not look like, share the results of that. And the more that you can get leaders involved is super important, because as an ethics compliance officer, there are few of you and there are many of them. And the way to create this environment is you need to enlist the help of others. That's critical, which is another reason why entertainment is important, is because if you want people to carry the message forward, you need to make it fun for them and make it easy for them. So that brings me to this last little point I want to make before we run out of time, which is we also need to give leaders training. I think part of this is your classic soft skills training. I come back to that thing that you mentioned earlier about, like, to hearing listening skills coming up all the time. I will tell you, listening is a muscle. In improv, we would talk about active listening and listening without judgment. These are muscles that can be built and worked at over time. Give them skills, involve them, give them fun games, fun resources, and make it easy for them. That's how we get it compliance into the embedded within the business. Yeah, I guess I'll just say that I think that, you know, I use the term entertainment because comedy can be polarizing. I think comedy can be very effective, but if you think of, like, all the ways that you consume information in your everyday lives, podcasts, dramas, stories, music. These are all really helpful to you, even around these very serious subjects.
Well, as the son of a writer and producer of sitcoms, I won't argue with you that comedy has great advantages out there. Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.